things going on tonight as we turn down this music here. Good afternoon and welcome to the online Bible class for the Safe House Church. I hope all is well. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, he is so worthy to be praised. I know many of us across the country have now been locked in or suggested that we be quarantined into our homes. But this is something here at the Safe House we've been used to doing for a while, being here on the online space. That God has blessed us to know and understand technology and have some technology ingenuity on some things. And I've been blessed that we've done radio shows and podcasts and things for a while. So transitioning back to this was just like, as we would say, bear rabbit being back into the briar patch. So welcome those who are listening via the pod, the live podcast. We are simultaneously on the podcast. So there's others from all around the world who may be listening there. Those who are there on Facebook Live, the day we did share this on Facebook Live, and we have a number of individuals who are joining us there. So I will be trying to interact with them as much as possible in that space. Hope all of you all can hear well out there. So hopefully they're hearing me. If they're not hearing me out there, I'm sure they will let me know if they're not. But on my end, everything looks pretty good. So hopefully I don't all is well there. So a lot of different things going on. I'm trying to reach as many people as possible on this platform, because we know a lot of people are locked in on today and may not have the ability to reach out to others or have someone to reach out to them. So this is something that we do every single Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We are located here in the beautiful city of Greensboro, North Carolina. Also got a couple of other things. You all, as I continue to mess with this software, I mean, I'm always finding new things to be able to do on this where I can actually interact and show us the Bible a little bit more. All right, so all those things have done and those things are well, and welcome again to the Safe House Church. We can be found on our website is Safe House Church GSO. Again, it's safehousechurchgso.com. God bless you all for being here with us on today. So today, our Bible study here tonight, we want to go from the subject of in the wilderness. I know on Sunday we talked about it's just another catfish, in particular about it's just another catfish. We spoke more generally about how, you know, the catfish is a animal that has been put in the place with the cod to actually poke at the cod to make them go. And what we were saying is that this thing that we're going through with the virus, this virus and people being afraid and being in a place of desolate and not sure of what to think and what's going on, is that this is just another thing to come and test our faith, another thing to push us where God would desire for us to be. As a group and in total. And this is why I say it's just another catfish. It's just something else to keep us going. Something else to say, hey, let me look and see and keep first things first. Things are in perspective as we need them. So this is what we was going at there. But even in that, we ought to what? Keep the faith. And in keeping the faith, we're into keeping the faith, and keeping the faith, you know, meaning that I don't see everything. I don't know everything. Things sometimes they look a little down, but I got to know and believe that it's working for my good. You know, even in this time, I've had some things, you know, that I was kind of struggling with. And it's funny sometimes how God sends other people to encourage you. You know, there are times that you and I, even as believers, can become discouraged, you know. And David put in the psalm said that David encouraged himself. So we have to be careful, because this discouragement will come on all of us. You know, we look around and we see things and things are not going the way that we desire, or we see our loved ones hurt, or we see people suffering and our heart pours out to them. But we must be careful, brothers and sisters, that we keep the faith, because the Bible says it like this: without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the basic elements of what we do, we must have faith. So tonight, like I said, I want to talk to you from in the wilderness. All right. So let me see if I can pull my Bible up here. Like I said, I got a new thing that I want to use today. So, you know, let me bear with me a little bit and I'll pull this on up here as I can. All right, so we're going to go ahead and share screen. Those who are new with us, who's watching, we do have the ability to share screen with you. So I'm going to do that right now. So if you don't have a Bible, you're able to see that verse and where we're from, I'm going from. So as we pull this up now, okay, so this is the new one I'm using now. This is kind of cool because it actually just like mirrors your iPhone. So as I mirror my iPhone here, I'm going to show you these things here. So today we're going to be in Psalms, the 63rd chapter. So I'm going to find Psalms, 63rd. I always often get asked what I'm using. This right here is actually what they call the Blue Letter Bible. I really like BlueLetterBible.com. It's been around for a good long time, and they have a pretty cool app, and it's free. All right, so Psalms 63rd chapter, and I'm starting at verse 1, and it says this: "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee, will I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow, and the fatness, marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow thou wings will I rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee, thou right hand upon me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go in the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." The mouth of them that shall speak lies shall be stopped. So we was talking about here, like I said, our message is today, that the study was in the wilderness. And I don't know about you, but we're in a time now where we find ourselves in a wilderness. When I think of wilderness, I think about places of desolation or places I've never been before, people I never interacted with. I think about a place of loneliness. I think about a place that is low in resources. I think about a place low in spirit, low in life, places of dryness, lack of water, lack of vegetation, wilderness. And in this wilderness experience is where you and I, we get to the point that we learn to depend on God. And here we find David. David in this story is, in this song is believed that, you know, as I look and I use a lot of commentaries and things, Clark's commentary suggests that when David wrote this, he was fleeing from the court of Achish. He was fleeing from the court of Achish. If you know anything about David's life, you know, David had been anointed to be king. He was the most unlikely candidate out of everybody that they had that was to be king. He was anointed to be king. And now David goes through all kinds of things. You know, he's anointed to be king early on in his life. However, it was a while before he actually came into the kingdom. Do you not know, or do you not believe that, you know what, you can be called to do something and been anointed to do something and have the faith and know that you're supposed to do it, but it takes a while for that thing to grow. It takes a while for you to be trained. It takes a while for you to get to where God desires you to be in your walk with him so that way he can put you in that place. You know, I struggle with that sometimes. I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes when we're in life and it seems like we're not making any headway, when it seems like those who don't bless God, those who don't follow after God, they don't follow his commandments, they, you know, really don't care, seem like they're doing anything that they want to do, it comes across as a time that seems like they are the ones that are prospering. and that we are the people of God, it seemed like we in desolate. It seemed like we in lowliness, that we are on the bottom of where of this situation, that we're not growing. It seemed like things are not working out in our favor. You know, but I think about a song that I like one time, and it said, it's the bottom of the ninth. You got two strikes and there's three balls and you still at the plate. That means you still have opportunity. I'm here to remind you today, brothers and sisters, as long as we have life on this side, that there's still opportunity to come back to him. There's still opportunity to be reconciled to the Father. There's still a place. So long as you have life, long as you have breath in your body, there's always what? Hope for you. And long as hope exists, then what? There is enough for faith to exist. And if faith can exist, then now what? You have at least the basic, most basic building block to be able to what? Please God. Amen. So here, this is where David finds himself. David is writing in this song, and he finds himself in a place of wilderness. You know, Jesus talks about his time out in the wilderness. Do you not know when God wants to make you, he allows you to go through the wilderness? Why? Because in the wilderness, I cannot hold on to familiar spirits. I can't hold on to a familiar ear. You know, God pulls us out. You think about when Moses was there. What did he do with Moses? He took Moses. Moses was in Egypt for 40 years, and he moves Moses out and takes him out of Egypt for 40 years, and he was talking to him on the backside of a mountain. Oh, come on, somebody. I feel my help coming. I'm not preaching today, but I'm supposed to be teaching. But he pulls them out, right? And over there, he teaches Moses some things. Moses goes marry a woman that's not of this race. He teaches Moses some things where? On the backside of the desert. So God sometimes has to allow things to come to us to get our attention, to pull us on the backside so that in the wilderness that we can be made. You know, when I look at things like Katniss, you know, like a Katniss, when I think about the desert, you know, there's a thing about a Katniss. A Katniss is one of those plants or a piece of vegetation that has learned to adapt to its environment. It's learned to adapt to its environment, that when rain comes, it's able to soak up as much water as it needs. It's able to fill itself up with water so that what? When times get desolate, when times run dry, when there's not enough to go around, then it's able to what? Pour from within itself. Hey, I'm telling you today, brothers and sisters, that in this time of wilderness for some of us, this is when what we should be able to pull on that. But he said, I'll be a well of water inside of you, right? We call it what, stirring up the gift that's inside of you, that you and I should have what, been saving up. Oh, come on, somebody. That we should have been saving up for all this time that we was hearing the word of God. Now we can't go to the church. Now that thing should be a well of water inside of you. It should be a well of water that now what is inside of you, that you can pull out scriptures when you need them. Oh, come on, somebody. I mean, I understand technology. I love technology. But sometimes you got to know the 23rd Psalm. You got to know more than Jesus wept. You got to know more than that it's 66 books. You need to be able to take that thing and pull apart it and use it when you need it. This is when David said, "Well, he had to encourage himself in the Lord." There could become a time, brothers and sisters, where we may not ever get to come back to church together. And that could be a really real possibility. Not saying that this is it right now, but these are one of the things that we must be consider. So this is why he says, "What? Work out their own soul salvation, right? Show yourself unproved unto God, a workman." Uh-huh. So you got to what? Read and study this thing yourself. And you know, I often get asked, well, Brother Ely, how do I do that? Well, it just simply starts by picking up your Bible. I want to encourage you. I want to empower you that, hey, you know what? Let me start reading this thing and starting to study this thing. He said, well, study thy word and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So David finds himself here in this wilderness. Okay. So what David is going at this point, David is running from, he's running from Saul, and he's coming to a difficult place. You know, 1 Samuel 21. And then again, in 1 Samuel 28. So in 1 Samuel 21, we see, David now is running from Saul. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 28, we see where he goes to Achish, and then he's end up on Achish king, and he ends up running from there. So now David's in, I believe in the place of Gath is where we find him. So let me read this to you. It says, the desert experience. So we want to talk about that desert experience, because some of us find ourselves there. We're not able to connect with our local church right now. And some of us, you know, maybe we have churches that don't, they're not as technologically savvy as others. So now we're in a space that, hey, you know what? I'm not getting what I normally would get. I'm not getting the word that I would normally get. How do I survive during these times? So we got to be like the cactus. We got to be able to absorb that word when we can get it and be able to drink off it. You notice the cactus has what? It has thorns or stickers on the outside of it. That's to do what? To protect it from other animals. Do you not know the Bible said what? The devil is like what? A roaring lion seeking who he may devour? That sounds like an animal. It sounds like a beast to me. So what? Being the cactus has these thorns on the outside. It doesn't allow the beast to get to what? That word. That word is what? That living water that's inside of us. Hey, if you're on Facebook Live or whatever, please hit the share button. Share this with somebody else. Others need to hear what we're saying on today. So the desert spirits, he said, the land that the Israelites inhabited is a diverse in terrain. The elevation ranges from the mountain peaks over 9,000 feet to the Dead Sea at most 13,000 feet below sea level. The difference in elevation in the regions makes different in various vegetation, temperature, and rainfall, right? So overall, Israel's climate is what? It's pretty dry. It's desert-like. So if you look in the Bible, you often hear them talking about the desert, and they make reference to the desert and different things in the desert. So what? They find themselves oftentimes in the desert. When you see Jesus throughout the Bible, and he's talking to the disciples, or he's talking to other people, he makes a lot of references of parables in reference to agriculture. Why? Because he's talking in relevant times. You know, sometimes, you know, and I have to be careful of this as a professor, sometimes we can be so, you know, so up in the clouds, so to speak, that what we have not become relevant to the people. And it's important in this day and time that, okay, what is this word mean? What are you truly saying? How does this relate to my life? How do I learn to live better? How do I learn to, you know, embrace the things of God? How do I learn these parts? And this is where we are. And you learn this in what? Bible classes like this. So he says, among the people of Israel were many shepherds for whom the water was vital to their survival for their flock. So let me set the picture for you. So a shepherd, what does a shepherd do? A shepherd actually has his sheep. And what he does is he's more like a modern day cattle rancher. So think about a cattle rancher. What the cattle ranchers do, they have all this land. And what they do, they move the herds of cattle to where the vegetation is so that they're able to eat. And then they also, they put them in places where they can get water. Their jobs are also to protect the sheep from what? Wild animals in this country, that's be, you know, coyotes and wolves and all kinds of things that would come to take their life. Well, in their time, this, you know, instead of them having cattle, they had sheep, and their job was very much the same thing. So they were to herd the sheep together. They were to move the sheep to places where they could eat. This is where we kind of get our word pastor from, right? So a pastor is best, or we call him a pastor, what? The shepherd, right? So you think about it, you know, the Bible equates you and I, those who follow Christ, that we are what? Sheep. And he said, we are the sheep of his pasture, okay? So if you and I are sheep, then our pastor who watches over our soul is what? Dare to lead us and guide us to where vegetation is. Do you see the importance of this? Do you see the importance of a pastor? Why? Because the pastor won't allow you just to be in the wilderness by yourself. If we're in the wilderness, we all in the wilderness together. And what? There's power in numbers. Okay. You know, the Bible says it like this, where there are two or three in the midst, there he is. So the shepherd moves the, you know, the animals from what? To vegetation, to find them food and to get them water. And he looketh out for them, right? He watches for their soul. In their case, he watches for their body to make sure that wolves and things don't come. And what did we find? David was what? A shepherd boy. And David was what? Tested several times while he was out there in that wilderness. And even in his wilderness experience, what God was doing was building him and storing him up for a greater test. I'm here to tell you today to remind you, brothers and sisters, as those who are listening under the sound of my voice, that the wilderness experience that you're experiencing now is just preparing you for a bigger test. It's just preparing you for the next level that God wants to take you to. It's preparing you for what it is that he's going to put your hand to do. Check it out. So what does he do with David? We know the story with David is that when he has David out there and David has to protect the sheep. And there's one time that a bear comes up and David's able to kill that bear with a slingshot. And then there's another time that I believe it was a lion that comes up and David was able to kill that with a slingshot. Now, what at this time, David's just what killing bears and lions and stuff, right? But there was going to come a time when David was going to use that slingshot to kill Goliath. Oh, come on, somebody. See, I want to encourage somebody today and speak into your life to say, what, that same thing that you think is nothing, that same thing that you think people have overlooked you about, that same thing that you've been working that you do well, that is your slingshot, and it's going to be your opportunity to your way out of your situation, your way out of your wilderness. If you have the faith and trust God, even in this wilderness experience that you are experiencing right now, that what he's going to turn it around in due season to the point where when you have the confidence in him. See, it wasn't that, you know, remember when David got there, you know, Saul tried to put it on him and say, hey, if you're going to go out and you're going to fight this guy, let me let you fight him the way that we know how to fight him. And the way we know how to fight him is what, we're going to put all this armor on you and we're going to give you this helmet. And what did David tell Saul? Saul, right? He told Saul, he said, look, take these clothes off me because they've not been tested. What is David saying? I don't have any faith in them. Brothers and sisters, when we in our wilderness experience and God take us through things, it's to build our faith. Are y'all with me tonight? It's to build our faith. And what these things do is that these things come to make us strong, and it builds our faith. And as our faith is getting built, then what, we can go to different situations and different things that we can walk through. And now what, those things that we used to look at as, you know, as hurdles that was large mountains to us, no longer are large mountains. Why? Because I've been working what I have. I've been working this part. I've been learning to grow what I have. So many of us, the Bible said, do not despise the day of small beginnings. So what I'm trying to encourage you tonight is that even in your wilderness, that thing that he's given you, work it, use it, build confidence in it. Because when David gets there, David said, he takes off all Saul's armor. And he said, well, look, just give me, let me go get five rocks. Mm-hmm. Let me go get five smooth stones, as the Bible says, out of the brook, and let me take my slingshot. He's going into battle with the things that he knows work. Why? Because they worked for him when he was in the wilderness. Are y'all with me? Are you following me tonight? So in the wilderness is when David developed his battle plan. In the wilderness is where David was able to put this battle plan together. It was in the wilderness that David got to test it when nobody was looking at him, when nobody was watching him. You know, in this part, God is not in the business of embarrassing you or himself. God is not in the business of embarrassing you or himself. He's not going to embarrass himself, and he's not going to embarrass you. So what? There's some time. So you wonder, why ain't I got out of this yet? That means there's some things that you still need to learn. There's some pieces you still need to pick up. Maybe your accuracy is not there. Maybe your discernment is not there. Maybe your understanding is not there. Maybe your prayer life is not there. Maybe your wisdom is not there. Because you don't want to be in a place that, you know, your giftedness gets you there and your character can't keep you there. You don't want to be in a place where now everything is on and it's been put on you and you are our champion and we're waiting for you to deliver and you fall flat on your face. God would not be mocked. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight, brothers and sisters? So it behooves us, and it's on us to what? To develop our faith. It's on us to develop those things in the wilderness. Like, Lord, I don't see it, but I trust you. Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you, Lord. This is all I have. I have only this slingshot, but let me develop this slingshot. Let me develop my accuracy. Let me develop my voice. Let me build confidence, not in myself, but in you, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So now we find David here, and he's talking about all the you know, it's Israel where they was flocking and they were what? They were moving to irrigate their crops and to feed the animals. And then they get to a point that in this point said the needs of the people and the livestock were consistently considered in light of the water supply in the land. This is the basis from which David related his need of the Lord to a desert experience. Why can David is relating this to a desert experience? Because this is what he knows. This is being relevant. As we would say at work, this is being culturally relevant. Okay. So he's being relevant to the times and relevant to the situation, so that what, people who read this letter later on understand. So if you're in a shepherd environment, if you're in a wilderness environment, and I'm able to make these references to you, then it comes across and you understand exactly what's going on, because you're able to make reference. So sometimes with us, with the Bible, we have to be able to make reference to those things so that people understand that what we're going through is only a test. Yes, it can be a critical test for some, and some may just be, they can just be floating on the wings of Jesus. But nonetheless, it's here to what? Build our faith. Okay, so then he goes on and we go on and we says this. He said, "And the Lord's desert experience, which was continually and desperately searching for water to survive." So the whole thing on this is built that they always in search of what? Water. This is why it's interesting that Jesus presents himself as what? Living water. So the thing is, if you save and you full of the Holy Ghost, then you have what? Constant living water inside of you. So when you in the desert, the number one thing you need in the desert is what? Water. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm feeling this thing now. Look, you need water. Water is the constant number one thing that you need while you're in the desert. So he said, well, I will be a well of living water inside of you. So Jesus presents himself as what? This water, this living water. So therefore, if you have him, you have all that you need. You have him, you can what? No longer thirst, because what? You drink of him. As we're going to get into that scripture there. So it says, God promised in Isaiah 35, in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. The Lord demonstrated his promise even before Isaiah penned those words. Let's go to those words real quickly. Let me pull that up for us. So we want to go to Isaiah. Let me get this thing to share here. So we say in Isaiah. Pulling up here, I'm going to Isaiah, okay. Oh, this thing been locked up on me. Isaiah, the 35th chapter. So Isaiah, like I said, this is a really cool app. Isaiah, where are you? Isaiah, and then we are 35 and verse 6, and it says this, then shall the lame man leap as in a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out. Notice he said waters, meaning more than one. So waters will what? Break out. Mm-hmm. That waters would break out, and when waters break out, what does he say? And the streams in the desert. Notice that waters here has what, an S, and streams here has an S. So it's more than one. So I'm here to remind you, brothers and sisters, today that God, when he breaks out, he doesn't break out just in one way. He breaks out in many ways. There are what? Many waters that present themselves here. So he says in that desert where it will be waters and it would be streams. You know, I think about streams of income. You know, I'm an advocate and I tell people all the time, you want to have multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. You know, multiple brooks, you know, because when one brook dries up, you want to be able to have something else to go to. When one dries up, you want to be able to reach out to something else. So we're talking about here, he said streams in the desert. The Lord demonstrated his promises even before Isaiah penned those words. Abraham cast out the bondmaiden Hagar and her son Ishmael following the birth of Isaac in Genesis 21. What are we talking about in Genesis 21? We're still talking about wilderness and we're talking about desert, right? So what happens in Genesis 21? We know here, this is where Abraham lost sight of his faith. We know Abraham to be the father of the faith, right? So Abraham is the father of the faith, but even Abraham, sometimes his faith got weak. What do Abraham do? Just to give you a quick synopsis, Abraham is promised that he's going to have a son. And Abraham and his wife, Sarai, become impatient and they go do it for God. They're going to do it. They're going to help God out. I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of trying to help God out sometimes. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that, Peter? And that, you know what? He has a time and he has a place, but I push the envelope a little bit. I make some decisions for him. And not in his timing. And what we often find out is when we do this thing, number one, his mercy has been upon us. But we often make a mess. How many, ask yourself, how many of you stepped out before God and made a mess of things? Mm-hmm. I am guilty as charged. So I've stepped out before God and I've made a mess of things. But what Abraham do? They step out before God. They make a mess of things. Basically, he sleeps with his servant or his maid, And his wife gives, watch this, his wife gives him permission to do so. You see how sometimes we could lose our way trying to do things for God? In that God told him this, but it wasn't happening fast enough. It won't happen soon enough. And sometimes we become impatient. And one of the things I'm learning about our walk with God is that it's going to require sometimes extreme patience. Think about David didn't become king for years. You know, Joseph didn't become king for years. You know, sometimes it's patient. You know, even I think it was Job that said, "Here would I wait and what until my change come." Are you willing to change? What if, brothers and sisters, we have to be locked up for 2 more months in this thing? Are you willing to wait till your change come? Or are you willing to say, you know what? I can't take it no more. I'm going to put on this and that, and I'm going to run out there, and I'm going to, you know, I'm walking on faith, and I'm going to be all right. Is, you know, think about that. Do you see what I'm saying to you tonight? Is that making sense, what I'm saying to you tonight? So we have to be careful. We have to practice what? Extreme patience. This is why I believe the Bible said what? Patience is a virtue. Everybody doesn't have patience. I remember as a young man, my granddaddy used to tell me all the time. He said, "Boy, you're the most impatient." And he was right. You know, God bless his soul. He was right. And he said, "Boy, you're going to hurry up and get some patience." And I always thought that was funny because to me, it's an oxymoron. You're going to hurry up. You're going to hurry up and get some patience. And he's right. I've been hurrying up, getting some patience ever since. True, very, very true statement. So in this, we have to learn to be patient. But because of their lack of patience, Abraham goes out, has a baby with his maidservant, and they named this child Ishmael. Mm-hmm. Ishmael, which many of us believe was the seed of Islam, and this is where the seed of Islam starts from, that spirit of that. But that's another whole thing. Even Muslims give reference to Abraham as being the father of the faith. This is why we got to know our word. We got to know when they come and people talk, you got to know what you're talking about. I'm not expecting you to know everything overnight, but it's a process. I'm still learning. You know, it's a process. When you think you've gotten there, then you're in trouble. Why? Because we all are what? Constantly learning more. We all are constantly gaining more. We all trying to understand better where we are and the positioning that we're in. Mm-hmm. The Bible said, "Well, take that word and learn of me," right? You gotta learn it. And you're not going to be there all at one time. It takes some patience and it takes some consistency. It takes some diligence to go forth in this. You know, I hope y'all are enjoying this tonight. Amen. So now we find Abraham now has this baby. And basically what happens is God does come through on his promise like he said he would. He has his son, Isaac. So now you have what? Baby mama drama. You got your illegitimate baby. And then you got your real baby. And baby, the legitimate mother, Sarah said, "Hey, Hagar got to go. It can't be 2 babies up in here." So basically he banishes them and he sends them out. And this is how this part gets here. So now let's bring you up to speed where we are now. So now Abraham cast out the bondmaid is Hagar, and her son Ishmael following the birth of Isaac. And that was in Genesis 21. I encourage you. You locked in, need something to read, read Genesis 21. Genesis in itself is a book full of many, many very interesting stories. I mean, it's got sex, it's got baby mama drama, it's got murder. I mean, it got all the things y'all think we struggling with. That's the first book. It is in the first book. All right, so we're talking about wilderness. So what happens? He sends them out to the wilderness. And Hagar wept in bitter disappointment when her water supply was depleted. So now what? He sends them out there to the wilderness. Basically, they going out there to die. Say, basically, fend for yourself. And she gets to the point that what? She's out of water. And we know water to be the sustainer of life. You and I think they tell me what? 3 days is probably about the max you can go without having water. Okay? So then he sends them out there. She puts her body, her boy under a shrub and walked a short distance away. So what happens is they're basically what? Dying of thirst in this desert. And she's like, okay, we're about to die. And she gets desolate and destitute. And what does she do? She takes her son, Abraham's son. Yeah, Ishmael. And takes him and what? And she sticks him under a shrub, a little tree out there in the desert. And she's leaving him there to die. She's leaving him there to die. You know, sometimes we can get out our wits in with, you know, our faith, and we just seem like we've had all we could do. We've done all we can do. There's nothing else I can do. There's nothing more I can understand. There's nobody else I can go to. There's nobody else I can borrow from. There's nobody else I can call on. And we get to our wits in, and then we just what? We lay down our baby. You know, for some of you, that's been the gift that God has given you. Some of you, God has blessed you with tremendous gifts, and you got to the point saying, you know what, Peter, I'm never going to get to use my gift. And you laid it down. Peter, you know, I'm never going to get to use this talent. And you laid it down. Some of you been hurt and you got to the point, you know what? I'm just going to lay it down. This whole Jesus thing, it ain't working out for me. I'm going to lay it down. This is that boy that was laid down under this tree. And what does she do? The Bible says that what? She lays it down and she walks away. How many of you have laid that thing down and walked away? How many of you have laid down what you know God has told you to do? You laid it down and walked away. Why? Because it hadn't worked out just yet. You know, it ain't grew just yet. You know, I'm sitting here in my home thinking, huh, how many times was it I've been doing these Facebook Lives when Facebook Live first went and it seemed like it won't go anywhere yet. And it's not growing yet. But in that wilderness experience, in that time where God was growing me, he was teaching me. And now, you know, he's blessed us with a church that's growing here in Greensboro. So this thing, you lay that baby down to the side. She walks away from it because she doesn't want to see it die. She can't stand to look at this thing that she's birthed and watch it die. Watch it shrivel up. Watch it be, you know, just go to nothing. And the Bible, and not the Bible, it says, you know, I mean, and I'm reading out my book here, and it says this, and then it says, and Hagar wept bitterly in disappointment. She put the boy in a shrub and walked a short distance away so that she would not see his death. See, some of us, we're witnessing the death of some things. Some of you are witnessing the death of your carnality. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody through this whole coronavirus thing is going to come to learn God. Somebody through this whole coronavirus thing is going to learn, is going to open up their Bible and understand and remember what it is like to pray, what it is like to seek God's face, what it is like to repent. I know I just said a cuss word, repent. Repent meaning turn away, you know, because I believe and I know the Bible teaches this, that holiness is still right. I don't care what nobody said. Holiness is still right. He says, still what? Bring yourself from out among them. And be ye separate. What do you mean ye separate? It doesn't mean that it's talking about my dress, but how my heart is. When they talking about these people going to the store and buying everything and don't want to leave anything, that's my heart. Unless I'm buying it to be able to help somebody else. Let me get my share and leave something for somebody else. See, that's the world system. That's how they act. When they cuss you out and you want to punch them in the face and you don't do it, that's being separate. Do you see what I'm saying? When they deserve everything that you want to give them, they deserve a good tongue lashing. They deserve to get a left hook and you don't do it. Because see, the thing is this, and I learned this weekend, my friend Pastor Will down in Durham, and he said it like this. He said, God's truth, if it's God's truth, we don't always have to agree with it. Meaning that turn the other cheek, and turning the other cheek, he never said what to do if they hit the other cheek, okay? But God's truth says, even if it didn't feel like it was fair, he says, truth says to what? Turn the other cheek. That's God's truth. I ain't got to like it. I don't know where it came from, but it's his truth. Do you see what I'm saying? So I have to, if I believe in the truth and I believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God, I have to walk in his what? His truth. Because it may not be true to me in my world, but remember, he said, be ye separate. Be separate from the world and be holy. Why? Because he is holy. So in his holiness says for me to turn the other cheek. But in my world, it says not. So that's why he tells what? That we are in the world, but not of the world. Do you see the difference? I can be in a thing, but not of the thing. You see what I'm saying? So here we as believers are being what? Grafted into this part. So she says she walks away short distance. Then what? Then the Lord opened her eyes and showed her a well of water. Right? See, this is the thing. God knows exactly how far to push us. You know, when I lift weights and when I'm going to the weight room, see, it's two different things. There's the time that Peter lifts weights when he's just by himself. And then there's the time that I lift weights when I have a partner or a good coach. Let me show you the difference. This is why a pastor is important. You know, this is why a coach is important. See, me lifting weights by myself, I'm going to tell you a couple of different things I would do. You know, I will work out. I get a good workout, but my workouts are nowhere as near as strenuous when I have a coach. I mean, as it would be when I have a coach. What do you mean by that? What I'm saying is I make every attempt to work out hard. I make every attempt to go in there and say, you know, I'm not wasting this time. I'm going to do this. But what I find is in the back of my mind, it's like I can't put on too much weight, because if I got on too much weight and I get stuck or I can't lift the weight off me, I'm in trouble. Do you see what I'm saying? I can't move the weight off me. I can get, you know, you can get killed in the weight room, if you don't, especially if you don't know what you're doing. So I can push myself, but I can't go to what we would call exhaustion, right? I can't go to the point that I hit the physical wall, because at some point when I hit the wall, that means I can't move this weight no more. Okay. So I do what I can do, but I don't have nobody there to push me. Mm-hmm. So what happens is when I have a coach, see, things turn a little different, right? Because when I have a coach, my intensity level picks up. Why? Because the coach, I know, number one, he's there for my good. Even though when it seems like he's pushing me hard, when I'm there, I'm physically crying and my muscles just ache and I say, I can't do no more. What he does is he get on top of me and said, Peter, you can give me two more. And what I find is I be struggling with those one or two reps and my arms be all weak and I be shaking like a leaf and all this stuff and tears might be coming out my eyes. But this is the point in time where I'm really growing. Come on, somebody. This is the time where things are changing. This is the time where the muscle has been stretched and stretched to a point that it's starting to rip itself apart and starting to be torn. It's starting to bleed. It's starting to ache. It's starting to burn. And I do not like it. And you do not like it either. But what do you find is that what the body has this amazing thing that to build muscle, you got to tear muscle. Come on, somebody. See, to build us, God has to tear down our carnality. To build us, he has to pull things out of us. So therefore, sometimes we get put under spiritual weight that seems so strenuous. This is why it's important to have a pastor, a teacher, or a prophet, or whoever it is that God has put in your life. To what? To help put extra stress on you, to tell you, baby, that you can make it. I know it hurts, but you can do it. Why? Because when it's said and done and you come out of this weight room, you're going to be sore a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're going to burn a little bit. It might not feel good for a couple of days, but in about a week, you know what happens? The pain is gone. And about a month or two of continually doing that, what I find is that weight that I needed my coach to help me lift, I no longer need him to help me. I can lift the weight alone. And this is what we call the building of our faith. I hope that you all are following my analogies tonight. I hope that I'm making it plain to you tonight. I hope it's coming across just as plain as day. Why? Because God is allowing things like this to come to what? Test us so that when we walk out into those places, into those wilderness, that we can do more than what we've done before. That we can do more than what we have done before. He wants us to do more than we've done before. He wants us to go to the next level. He wants to open up doors for us. He wants to do these things. However, some of us are not at the point that we can spiritually handle that. Some of the things that he wants to bless us with would kill us. We can't handle it. You know, as they said, Rodney Dangerfield used to say, can you handle the truth? Some of us, the fact of the matter is some of us cannot handle the truth. Some of us cannot handle that. So what he's doing, he's building us up. He's building our faith. He's building our character. He's building our integrity. He's building our discipleship. He's building our commitment. He's building our consistency. Uh-huh. He's building these things in us so that when we get it, then what? We're able to sustain it. We're able to hold it. So what does he do to Hagar? After all of this is going on, here it says what? He opens her eyes and she sees what? A well. There's a well of water. A well of water. And then it says what? With the supply, God preserved her life and that of her son. The people of the world today need to have their eyes open to what God can provide, and thus they may gain life everlasting. He's here to provide for us. But the thing is that like a good coach, when you're building in that weight room, like a good coach, he has to put you under some stress. He has to put you under some tension, because if he didn't, you wouldn't grow. If he didn't, you wouldn't go to the next level. If he didn't, you would stay complacent where you are. Why? Because we as believers and people in general, complacency is a thing that we like. Complacency is a thing that we enjoy. Why? Because it does not require anything of us. Oh, come on, somebody. Complacency does not require anything of us. So since complacency don't require anything of me, I do what? I don't give you anything. Mm-hmm. You know, for you to get something out, you know, you got to put something in. So when you find yourself in complacency, you know, you're not going up, but you're not what? You're not putting it out either. So we must be careful of what? Finding ourselves in complacency. So then it said, and the amazing, you know, we talk about the story of Moses where, he also what linked Moses to water and its life-giving importance. He was saved from the water of what? The Nile. Remember, Moses, where did Moses' connection with this water in the wilderness? Well, remember, there was a decree that was going to come out and what kill all these firstborns. And Moses was one of, supposed to be one of those babies. And it was what? In the water of the Nile River, where Moses was rescued from what? A basket of tar and pitch. Tar and pitch, what? Basically, a reed basket that was covered in tar and pitch, and he was put in that basket, somewhat similar to what, like a baby ark. Oh, come on, somebody. Did y'all see the symbolism in that? It was like a baby ark, and from the water, it was Pharaoh's daughter who pulled him from the water and cared for him and protecting him, knowing full well he was not her baby. You know, sometimes God will allow the enemy to protect us. You know, I preached this message some time ago called Cover Crop, where the Bible says, let the wheat and the tares grow together. And when he comes, he would do the separating, right? You know, and in that message, what I learned is this important thing in agriculture is called a cover crop. And what a cover crop does, it's a crop that grows with the real, the cash crop or the crop that you would desire to have. And what happens is they grow together. One of them is a weed and one of them is the cash crop. One of them is a weed and the other is the cash crop. And what we find is that as they grow together, the weed protects the cash crop. Do you not know sometimes God allows us to be hooked up with some people in for a season and he's using them and they don't even know it? The Bible says like this, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So even in that season, he allowing them what? To be with you. But what they're doing is they're protecting you. You don't even know. I know situations and I wouldn't disclose my business. If we were just in the church, I probably would tell it. But I'm on Facebook Live and I'm on podcasts and I'm all over the place. So I'm going to hold that one tonight. But nonetheless, what we, you know, what I found is that, you know, there have been people, whether they knew it or not, God used them to protect me from situations. He used them to protect me from circumstances that was pretty much intimate that it was going to come my way. And they protected me from that stuff and not even knowing that they was protecting me. So what a cover crop, where the cover crop is there, what does the cover crop do? It protects the plant from the sun. Uh-huh. Sometimes the cover crop produces, do you not know when plants grow, they actually have waste too, right? And sometimes that waste comes off in things of like nitrogen and phosphorus and fluoride and all these other things that are in the earth. And what they would do is what? These were things that the plant needed to grow. So a cover crop, because what happened is what? If you pull both crops, if you go in there and you pull the weed up with the crop that's growing, the cash crop that you want, there's a way, there's literally most of the time, because we don't have the intimate knowledge of exactly how to do things, we end up damaging both crops. So I went in there and said, hey, let me remove the bad one. But in removing the bad one, I destroyed the good one. In removing the bad one, I destroyed the good one too. Because when I pulled it up, their roots might have been twisted together. So we don't understand how some people are tied up. So this is why God said, what? When I come, let me do the separating. I understand how they are together. I understand how they're woven together. I understand how they're tied together. So therefore, I would do the separating. I would do the pulling apart. You don't know enough to be able to pull them apart like that. You don't know enough to be able to do it the way I do it. So this is what sometimes we got to get hands off on some things. And we got to trust God that he knows it. And we got to trust God that he can do it. We got to trust God that he's going to handle it. In that cover crop. So now this crop, the cover crop is there to protect. And then when it gets to a point that way, then he'll come around and he'll do the separating and he'll do, you know, the moving and the cutting away. That's not our job. My job is to preach Jesus and him crucified, and him in holiness. And it's his job to do everything else. You know, I ain't here to convict anybody. I'm not here to, you know, chastise anybody. All I am is what? To preach that gospel. All I am is to present that gospel that is there. And you yourself, you know where you are. You know what you're into. You know what's not there. You know the conscience that God has given you. You know the seeds of condemnation that may be in your heart, because what he's calling you to a higher level. He's calling you to more holiness. He's calling you to be ye separated. Mm-hmm. He's calling you that what? You're going to survive here in the wilderness. And some of us, he tells us what? It's time for us to answer this call in the wilderness. How do we survive in the wilderness? We have water. And this book, what called the Book of Life. And in this Bible, it gives us water. It shows us where to get water. It shows us that what our soul will be satisfied. So then we find Moses again, that what Moses, again, Moses is tied to water when he gets to where? The Red Sea. There's a what? The parting of the Red Sea, that Moses is able to stretch his rod out and God was able to what? Part the Red Sea. All these things here. Then we go, we're talking about Moses, that then Moses what found himself in the wilderness with the children of Israel, and they needed what? Water. And there was two instances there when the children of Israel needed water. And what did they do? One time Moses spoke to the rock and the rock gave up water. Oh, come on. Sometimes God gonna tell you, hey, you know what? Speak to that thing and you'll be able to get the water. Then there's another time that Moses supposed to have struck the rock. And it's given water. Sometimes he's going to tell you, hey, you got to get a little bit more physical in this situation, but it's going to give forth water. See, sometimes God changes his methods, but his results are the same. Oh, come on, somebody. See, this God has an end game in this. He has an end result. And we already know, if you read the book, he tells us what? At the end that we win. And that's all I have to focus on. That's all I have to know is that what? I know it don't seem like I'm winning right now. I know it don't seem like things are going the way that I desire them to go right now. It doesn't seem like I'm going ahead and this is happening, that's happening, and this is going on, and we ain't got this and we ain't got that. But trust and know at the end that we win. So then what? In Exodus 15 and 25, he tells us that he's provided water from the rock. Then in Exodus 17 and 6 and Numbers 20 and 11, and he calls what? A well to spring up. My time is almost up, y'all. But a well to spring up, Numbers 21 and 16. All these things happen where? In a desert land. When it seems like it won't supposed to be anything else. When you go to the store and it seems like it don't supposed to be any bread and you find that loaf of bread. Don't count it all. Don't count it because you got lucky. He knew where to send you. When he sent you down to that little side store down the street that you ain't never been into in like 5 or 6 years, and you go in there and they got everything you need and at a reasonable price. He provides in the wilderness. He provides for his people. The Bible says it like this. I was young, but now I'm old, right? And I through all of this, what? I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread. And nor would it be the same for you and I. Last verse, and I'm going to end up on this. And, you know, so when we talk about the historical importance of water, in particular in the desert, it is no wonder that Jesus used it as a metaphor for the satisfaction of spiritual needs. Jesus had his own wilderness experience, both literally and spiritually, in which the devil tempted him. He returned from that experience in the power of the Spirit. Luke 4 and 14 is where we are. Luke 4 and 14. And he says, and one of his first messages following the experience, he included a blessing for those who hunger and what? Thirst after righteousness. We thirst after righteousness. Why? Because it's a drink to us. It's refreshing. It's sustaining. It sustains life. It gives us life more and more abundantly. So brothers and sisters, today as we go through this whole thing of where we are right now, I'm here to tell you today, God will sustain you in the wilderness. We have to trust in him. Trust that, you know what, God, I know these things look bad and all this stuff, but even if you don't, Lord, even when it gets to the point, Hagar got to the point that she gave up and put the boy under a tree and said, I'm going to walk away and listen to the cries of my baby and watch him die. But I'm here to tell you today that what your baby's not going to die. The baby's not going to die. The God is going to allow you to see that water. He's going to bring somebody by. Somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to encourage you. Somebody's going to open up a door. It's going to be a situation. Right when you thought it was done, he said no. But what? It's a trial of our faith. It's to build us up. It's to make us strong. Why? So that what? In the day of testing, what did he tell Peter? He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that in the day of testing, that your faith fail you not. That's what he told him. So in this day of testing, I'm praying for you. And I ask that you pray for me. You pray for the Safe House Church. That in our day of testing, that our faith fails us not. Are y'all with me tonight? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Let's go into a word of prayer real quick and then we'll end. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord Jesus, on this hour. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for building our faith that, Lord, in the wilderness, Lord Jesus, where you open up doors for us, that you will show us water and you will guide us, Lord Jesus, and keep us in the palm of thy hand. Lord, I ask that every person that watched this cast on tonight, every person that's participated in this Bible study, oh God, that they walk away with a renewness of spirit, Lord Jesus, a lightness, Lord Jesus, of Lord Jesus, a water, Lord Jesus, that's in their spirit to let them know, Lord Jesus, that they have the strength to go on. Lord Jesus, that's something, Lord Jesus, that you're calling them to, Lord Jesus. Out of that wilderness, Lord Jesus, that you're moving them, Lord Jesus, you're transforming them, oh God. You're showing them different ways to look at things. And Lord, during this season of why they maybe be at home, oh God, Lord Jesus, that those ideas that they had before are coming forth, Lord Jesus. Those things that you've planted in their spirit, oh God, those things that they said they've been wanting to do, now that they have time to think about them, oh God, and let them come to fruition, oh God. Lord, I ask that you stamp the gift that's within them on this day, oh God, Lord Jesus, that they understand, Lord Jesus, that they pour from you, oh God, that they go forth, Lord Jesus, and trust you, Lord. Lord, just ask that you open up resources for them, Lord Jesus, that no one under the sound of my voice, Lord Jesus, would go hungry, oh God, that no one under the sound of my voice, Lord Jesus, would lose their life, oh God. Lord, even if they come in contact with the virus, oh God, that you be a hedge or a fence, Lord Jesus, to repel it right now in the name of Jesus. For you said by your stripes that we were healed, were being past tense, meaning that it's already done. And Lord, as we walk in, Lord Jesus, in this thing, oh God, in this day, Lord, let us be a light to those around us, Lord. Let us be a light to, Lord Jesus, those who are struggling, oh God. Let us be a light, Lord Jesus. Lord, not that we want to be on platform, oh God, but we want to be a thing, Lord Jesus, to show others, Lord Jesus, that there is another way, that there is a better way, Lord, that you have not forgotten us, Lord Jesus, that you said you would never forsake us, oh God, that you are still here with us, Lord. For even if I make my bed in hell, you said there would I be. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for what you're doing in advance, oh God. Look upon each and every brother and sister, Lord Jesus, that's here. Hold them, keep them, Lord Jesus. Hold them in the palm of thy hand like only you can. Lord, we ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. That God bless you all. I love you all. If it's on your heart, if you would like to bless us, you can go to our church website and you can see us there and bless us if you desire to do so. Financially, our church is not, you know, it's not built off air. You know, these things do cost some things for us to keep things up and running. So I am so appreciative of those things. And if you would, if God has laid it on your heart to do so, ask that you all bless us financially by just planting a seed here in our ministry here at the Safe House Church, as you can see here. There's the Safe House Church. If you want to bless us, that's our cash out. So God bless you all. Love you all. Do I have any questions from anybody? I can unmute people right now. Those who are here in here, I will unmute some of you all. If you have a question or anything going forth on this night, I'm unmuting some people right now as we, do I have any questions from anybody? Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you. For God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Any questions for anybody? Any prayer requests from anybody? All right, everybody's unmuted. Nobody's saying anything. So I'm assuming all is well. You all pray for me as I pray for you on Sunday. We'll be right back here again. Also share this. Those on Facebook Live, share this. And we're just so grateful for what God is doing. And I'm so grateful to you all for being part of our family here on tonight. If you ever want to visit us, we are located at 31 13 Cedar Park Road in the beautiful city of Greensboro. When we get through all of this, I would love to have you there and meet with us there in person, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Safe House Church, this is a safe place for you to be. God bless you all. Love you all. Until next time. Sunday morning, we start bright and early at 9 o'clock. And I'm just looking forward to you all coming in, being there with us as we go forward. And just bless you. Take care. We love you. Bye-bye.